oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sin. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. They then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the evening. Thank you for the blessings of the day. Thank you for the good songs we've enjoyed. I pray now, add your blessings to everything that's done here tonight. Just give glory and praise for you, and we just want to worship you and love you, and for everything you're doing for us. Just give our hearts direction and our minds the peace of God, and we'll thank you for everything that you're doing for us tonight, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. I want you to look at this, and let's look at this idea tonight, if you will. And we've been looking at it, saying in chapter number 10, we start out talking about, you know, Cornelius, that he was given some light, and then it looks like he's going to get more light. And then we talked about that even Peter got some light. Well, I want you to look at this tonight, and let's say, here's where the light shines brightest. Here's where the light shines bright. I mean, it's finally like throwing on the switch. And you know, they show in cartoons or in some little shows on television, sometimes the light bulb goes off and finally comes on where somebody says, oh, I've got it. Well, I want you to see tonight that that's exactly what happens here. When the light is shown, when the light is given more and more and more light, then you see that the light finally becomes its brightest. And that's what we're noticing tonight here with Peter and his preaching. As a matter of fact, you'll even notice that the light appears to Peter in a brighter state than it did before. Because you see, there in verse number 34, the very first thing that we read, it said, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. I mean, Peter, the light finally goes on with him, I think, where he realizes now that God, well, let's just say it like this, God doesn't play favorites. You know, people do, and I don't care. For some people, as good as they can do and as fair as they can be, sometimes they still play favorites. Can I tell you, my Bible tells me that God does not play favorites. God has no favoritism among his demons. You know why? We're all lost. We all need a Savior. We all need him. So God shines his favor on whosoever will come to him. And he calls every man to salvation. And finally, Peter sees that. I want you to notice, if you'll see this in verse number 34, the Bible said, then Peter opened his mouth. Anytime you see that phrase, and you'll see it several times throughout your Bible, as a matter of fact, we've already ran across it once in some of these parts of the books of Acts, where it says, you know, whoever opened their mouth and they said. Whenever you see that phrase, it is a phrase that means something important is about to be said. As a matter of fact, most of the time when you see that little note about opening their mouth, it means somebody generally is about to say something that is of a magnificent importance in the Word of God. As a matter of fact, if you think about it, you see Jesus in chapter number 5 getting ready to preach, of Matthew chapter 5, he's getting ready to preach the Sermon on the Mount, and it talks about that he got up with all the people gathered to him, that his disciples were sitting near him. It said then he sat down and he opened his mouth and began to speak. Whenever you see that little phrase, he opened his mouth, whoever it is, it's saying something important is about to come. Well, as a matter of fact here, Peter's about to preach. That's what he's going to do. Peter will be preaching the Word of God. And that's what he said. Then Peter opened his mouth and said. Here's what he's got something to say. And he begins his sermon, if you will. Look at this. This is really a sermon as it goes down through verse number 43. And then things change. But the sermon starts out. He says, of a truth. He said, I perceive. I finally got an understanding that God is no respecter of persons. So, first of all, look with me tonight, if you will. Let's think about this. The published report of Jesus. The published report of Jesus. Now, you'll notice here as we start out in verse number 34 and go down through verse 38 that we'll see this idea. If you'll notice, it says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, and he says in parentheses, he is Lord of all. That word I say unto you, you know, which was published through all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, Peter begins his message out. And starts out with the idea of let me reiterate some things about the life and the work of Jesus. In other words, he says, here I'm going to tell you about the published reports of Jesus. There's some published report. Matter of fact, you've got one sitting right there in your lap, or you should have. It is your Bible. That is a published report of Jesus. Amen? Every time you get your Bible, realize you're reading something about Jesus. Amen? You're getting something about Him. It's a published report of Him. So, I want you to notice this. First of all, notice what Peter does as he gets a hold. Notice how Peter grasps the idea that is given here in verse number 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and he said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. He said, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. First of all, notice that Peter grasped the understanding that he should have about how God looks at us. As I've said, God has no favorites. There's no favoritism. God is not, as we are many times, prejudiced. Let me tell you, I was reading some things and I ran across this, and I think this is very interesting, and I don't, you know, nobody take offense to it, but I'll just tell you what it said. They would say in olden days, before Jesus came, that Jewish men would get up every morning. And in their morning prayers, a Jewish man would pray like this. First of all, he would begin his prayer and he would begin to thank God. He'd say, I thank God, first of all, that I'm not a slave to any man. And he said, I thank God also, I'm not a Gentile. And I thank God that I'm not a woman. Now, I mean, that's what they'd say. Sorry about that if that hurts your feelings. But that's the way that the Jewish men looked at things in their day in their society. They were glad, and then I guess all of us would be glad if we wasn't a slave. That'd be, you know, something to praise God over. But then they said, I'm glad I'm not a Gentile. Why? Because they looked down and they degraded and they had no use for and they counted worthless anybody outside the nationality of Judaism. I mean, you wasn't anything if you wasn't a Jew. They would call them dogs. They wouldn't interact with them. They wouldn't eat with them. They wouldn't talk to them. They wouldn't do anything with them. And if a Jewish man ever married a Gentile woman, his family the next day would have a funeral and say, our son is dead. Because he had mingled with a Gentile. I mean, there were some real national issues with the Jews toward the Gentiles. I'm just telling you that to get you to understand that this is a big step for Peter. As a matter of fact, God's been trying to show him this. You know, we've studied before where Peter had that sheet that came down from heaven, and he saw all the manners of beasts, and, you know, and God said, rise, slay, and eat. And he said, oh, no, I don't touch anything common or unclean. I'm not going to get in and deal. But God was trying to prepare him for this time when he was going to be preaching, the grace of God will even save the Gentiles. So Peter finally grasped the idea that God's been trying to give him. What's he been trying to tell him? Well, he tells him that, look, I mean, this is something that God is going to do. He's going to save folks from everywhere. God is not a respecter of person. But look what he says. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Now Peter says, I understand God's saving and going to save people out of every nation, not just the Jewish nation. It's finally something that Peter comes to grasp. As I said, the lights are coming on. It's getting brighter. It's getting where, you know, even the Jewish people are understanding some things. Now, you remember me talking to you here a week or so ago when we were talking about this? And Peter has six men that have come with him that are of the Jewish faith. They're believers in Christ, but they're Jewish in their nationality. They're Jewish believers, okay? So they're there with him, and ain't nothing happened to them yet. They're listening to the preaching, but they're like a lot of other folks. They're just sitting there nodding their heads saying, yeah, that's right, that's right. They ain't listening, but they're nodding their heads. Hey, man, you ever seen people do that at preaching? Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, what did he preach? I have no idea what he said. Amen. I mean, really, that's the way it is. I mean, but listen, here they are. They're hearing Peter. Peter said, let me tell y'all guys something. He said, God doesn't play favorites. God, now, you know, we've talked about a little bit about Peter and his prejudices. Well, now he looks at it and says, you know what? God doesn't have any prejudices. Aren't you glad that God doesn't look on the outside like we do? God doesn't look at whether it's male or female. God doesn't look whether it's black or white or red or yellow. God doesn't worry about any of that stuff. He looks on the heart of every man. And isn't that what he told Samuel when he went to anoint one of the sons of Jesse as the king of Israel? He said, you know, he looked at the firstborn son, Eliab, and he said, oh, surely that God's anointing's on him. He's big, tall, handsome, strong, dark-haired, and much of a man. And God said, nope, that ain't him. You're looking on the outside. He said, I'm looking at a man's heart. And then eventually it comes all the way down to a little ruddy, red-headed, freckle-faced little kid named David that God's blessing and anointing was to be on. Amen? What do you say? I'm saying God doesn't respect the same things that you and I do. God doesn't hold the same prejudices that you and I do. God doesn't have any favor. He shows no favoritism to anyone. Everybody's on the same place. They tell a story that during the, or at the conclusion of the Civil War, that General Robert E. Lee from the Confederate States went to a church service that they were holding afterwards. They were having a big church service about the end of the war, and somebody was up speaking about, you know, freedom and emancipation and all those kind of things. And it came down to a point where they were getting ready to pray, and Robert E. Lee bowed beside a black freed slave and prayed. And when he got through, one of his fellow soldiers that had served with him looked at him and said, why did you do that for? Didn't you know who you was praying beside? And he said, sir, I want you to understand that all the ground at the cross is level ground. Amen. It doesn't matter who you are, what your nationality, skin, color, dialect, any of that. It just matters that God's worried about souls. And as I say, finally for Peter, the light is coming on. So Peter grasped something finally. But not only that, I want you to notice what Peter winds up giving because of what he's grasped. Look what it says. He says, I understand that God is not a respecter of person, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Now don't get lost in verse 35 thinking, oh, there's a verse that said works will save you. It does not say that. It just says anybody that fears God and anybody that's willing to work righteousness is going to be accepted with him. In other words, God's going to bring them to the place where he can save them. See, Cornelius wasn't saved, but he already met these specifications. He feared God, and he was a righteous man, but he wasn't saved. That's why Peter was there. Amen? So Peter's already telling that. But look in verse number 36. It says, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. And then he says, he is Lord of all. Notice that. Peter uses that word all because he's understanding now he's the Lord of all. He says, that word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. So what he's saying here is this, is, look, I want to give you the word of God. Peter even makes a statement that says, you guys know this. Do you see that? He says, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, that word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. He said, you already know about this. Those Gentiles knew about Jesus, who he was and what was proclaimed. They knew all of that. They just hadn't received him as Savior yet. They knew that he'd been there. They knew that he lived. They knew that he died. They knew all of that, but they couldn't get the right thinking and you know, the right preaching, really, to tell them that they needed to trust Jesus as Savior. And that's what Peter's doing for them. He is bringing that word to them that says, look, he is the Lord of all. And Peter gives them the word. He's giving them the word of the Lord. You see that? He said, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel. What was that word? Well, that word was Jesus. In the beginning, John chapter number 1, verse number 1, in the beginning was the Word, and Word with God, and Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. I mean, Jesus is the Word and came down to earth in a body of flesh. So he said, that word which God sent to the children of Israel, and he preaching peace by Jesus Christ. Can I tell you this just as a little aside? Think of that. Jesus is preached. And he said that Jesus came preaching peace. Do you know that's what Jesus came to do? Was to set us at peace with God. That was the entirety of the gospel, is so that you'll be saved. You'll have the righteousness of God. And you'll have peace with him and establish a right relationship with God. That's what it's all about. So Peter, that's what he's telling them. He said, you've got that word. And listen, notice what Peter gives some glory about here in this thought also. He says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That little phrase look familiar to you? God was with him. You remember what Nicodemus came? He came and said, Master, no man can do us the miracles that thou doest except God be with him. He said, we know that God's with you because nobody can do what you do unless God is with him. Amen? And Peter said, we know that God's with him. I mean, he said, look, I'm glorying in Jesus. Peter said, I'm not glorying in being a Baptist. I'm not glorying in being a Methodist. I'm not glorying in being a preacher. I'm not glorying in being one of the 12 apostles of Christ. I'm not glorying. He said, I'm glorying in Jesus. Amen? That's the only thing. As I said, he is making this a published report about Jesus Christ. He's making it a report of him. He is saying, look, I want y'all to understand this is Jesus. And if you'll think about this, he comes and he tells us this. Peter does. He says, look, he said it is how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost with power. And listen to what he says about Jesus, who went about doing good, okay, and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. Do you notice that he emphasizes that fact that while Jesus was here, that he went about doing good and relieving those that were oppressed? You know why Peter, I think why Peter put this in here? Is I know the Holy Ghost inspired him to say, but what's the emphasis behind all of that? I believe that God sent Jesus here for me and you to see how we are to be good. Okay? There's the factor of good for me and you. How can we be good? The only way you and I can be good is be like Jesus was. And in that, it's having a right relationship with God. It is being submitted to His will. It is being following everything that God's telling you. I mean, it is actually, and when you do that, do you realize Jesus just simply did what His Father said, gave glory to Him, and that's what He says, my life is all about. What do you think that was? That was an example for me and you on how to live a Christian life. Amen? Godly. And doing good. And relieving those that are oppressed of the devil. I mean, everything that he did it for the purpose of magnifying His Father in heaven. And I believe, as I say, that's what He said. He was a role model for us. I mean, why did Jesus come down here? He came to show us that it could be done. Amen? What are you saying? I'm saying men inherently are not good. Men are wicked. Men are dark. Men are vile. Men are sinful. Without Jesus. And Jesus came down and said, here's how it should be. But you've got it all wrong. You've messed it up. You're following your father, the devil, without Christ being in your life. Amen? So Peter says, look, let me just glory in Him because He went about doing good. He went about relieving all those that were oppressed of the devil. He went about doing the Father's will. He went about doing all these things. Amen? So first of all, just notice that with me, if you will, the published reports of Jesus. But not only do I want you to notice the published reports of Jesus, I want you to notice what Peter begins the preaching about the resurrection of Jesus. The resurrection of Jesus. Look with me, if you will, there in verse number 39. He says, and we are witnesses of all things which He did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed Him openly. I want you to realize this. Peter begins now, and he's going to preach about Jesus, and he's going to preach about, first of all, His being rejected by His own people. Now, Peter says here, look, I want you to realize, as I said, that very last thing, he was glorying in Jesus, but I want you to see where he says, and we're witnesses of all those things which He did, and that, you know, healing people and helping people and all those things, doing good. He said, we were witnesses of all those things which He did in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. He said, I want you to know what they did. Here's what they did. They slew Him who went about doing good. They slew Him who relieved the oppressed of the devil. They slew Him and should have left Him alone and done nothing negative to Him, but that's what they did. Why? Because he said, I want you to see, He was rejected of the Jewish people. He was rejected. They didn't want Him. They said, we're away with Him. We want Barabbas. We don't want Jesus. Give us a murderer. We don't want Him. We don't like Him. We don't believe Him. The religious crowd said, He's taken away our converts. Other powerful folks in government, they didn't want Him because He's starting a movement that might overthrow them. I mean, they didn't want Him at all. They didn't want Jesus. They rejected Him. And Peter's trying to get his audience here to see how that these folks rejected the Lord and what he was doing and how, you know, He was blameless in that. And then notice this. He says not only was He rejected by His own people, rejected so much that He said they slew Him and hanged Him on a tree. But look what He says in verse 40. He says not only was He rejected, but I want you to notice that He was revived and raised by the power of His Father. Him, God raised up the third day and showed Him openly. He said, not to all people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with Him after He rose from the dead and commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is He which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. I mean, here's Peter. He said, look, they rejected Him. He said, but God the Father in His power raised Him up from the dead, and He gave us a commission to preach that because that is the gospel, that Jesus died on a cross, that He died for our sins, that He was buried, and that on the third day He rose again according to the power of God, and He ever liveth, as Paul says, to make intercession for me and you. Brother, I want you to know, Peter is preaching the gospel to these folks. Well, what did God send him for? To preach the gospel. Isn't it amazing how Peter's doing a good job with that, right? I mean, he is saying, look, he has been raised up and he is able to save folks. That's what this thing's all about. Peter's telling this crowd. He's got Cornelius and all those that he's called in, and they're all listening to the preaching, and Peter's a preaching along. Look at verse number 43. And he says, look, to him gave all the prophets witness that through his name, listen, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sin. Now, Peter's kind of getting to the point here, isn't he? And it almost seems like he's getting ready to look over to one of them guys and said, hey, won't y'all get a song ready and we're going to sing a verse of Just As I Am or Come Unto Me or so. He's getting ready. But do you know what? He doesn't get the chance. I mean, he preaches and he says, look, that to him gave all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him should have remission of sin. I'm glad Peter is preaching about having remission from your past, your present, and your future sin. He said, hey, if you'll trust him, you can have your sins forgiven. Buddy, that's what Cornelius had called him there for. He wanted to hear the story. He wanted to hear the truth. He wanted to hear the gospel. And the angel said, send for Peter, and he'll speak unto thee of these things. He's going to tell you about these things. Thank God, here's Peter telling him about it. Amen? And then the worst thing in the world that could ever happen happens to Peter. He's the preacher that get interrupted in his preaching. Amen? I mean, it's a good thing, but, you know, if y'all know preachers like I do sometimes, they think, well, I wasn't even through with my message. Well, that's okay. God was through with it, okay? God, when God gets through, that's even better than you getting through. Look what it says. Verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. Amen. Something happened right there. And Peter, he didn't get all, well, I'm not through my sermon. Y'all, wait a minute, I got 30 more minutes. No, he didn't. He just quit right there. Amen. It's a good quitting place when God gets on with the interruption. I want you to notice that. Notice, thirdly, if you will, the proof of their redemption. I mean, you see, the redemption that's found in Jesus has some proof about it. Notice what it says. It says, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that amazing? I mean, these guys are like, wait a minute. We thought we were the only ones. Woo, can I tell you something? Some of us Baptists are going to be amazed when we get to heaven and we see some people there and say, well, they're not Baptists. And God's going to say, well, like Brother Sprayberry does, I got them before the Methodists got them or before the Church of God or the Pentecostals or whatever God. I got them. Amen. Aren't you glad of that? That God gets a hold of them and he saves them. That's all that matters, is that he saves people's souls. Amen? But I want you to notice, first of all, you see here, as Peter is preaching, he gets an interruption. As I said, isn't that, I like it when God just interrupts. You ever been in a service where a preacher's a preacher, somebody gets up and comes to the altar in the middle of the preaching? You know what the best thing to do for the preacher is? Shut up and just go on. Let God do something in somebody's life. Amen? I mean, if God's ready for the sermon to end, you don't got to. Oh, Brother James Langston, you say this all the time. He'd say, my preaching's just like bologna, like a stick of bologna. We can just cut it off anywhere. Amen? Aren't you glad you can do that in the preaching of the Word of God when God's dealing with souls and drawing them to a place? Hey, that's what we're interested in anyway. It's not hearing the entirety of some preacher's and his outline and his thought and all that stuff. We just want to see what God's doing. But you notice here there was an interruption. Can I tell you, Peter's got a habit of being interrupted. You remember when they're up on the Mount of Transfiguration and Peter is there seeing all the things that are happening, and there's Moses and there's Elijah and there's Jesus transfigured before, and there's all kinds of glory and there's all kinds of things going on, and they're talking and all this is going on. And Peter said, well, it's good for us to be here. Why don't we build 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah? And all of a sudden, God interrupts him. And it says there was a darkness that came, and that there was a voice that said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And old Peter got cut off, didn't he? Amen. He got cut off by God the Father. Got a little interruption there. Well, you remember when another time when Jesus and Peter out, Peter comes running up to Jesus and he says, Lord, he said, we got to go pay the temple tax. They come up and ask me why we don't pay the tax. Why we have, and Jesus gives him a little lesson on, look, Peter, shut up. I'll show you how to fix this. I mean, he said, look, are the children taxed? If you go back and read that parable, he says, is it the servants or the other people, or is it the children of the king? He said, well, it's the others. He said, well, then we don't owe any tax because we're children of the king. He said, but just so that we won't offend anybody, he said, you go out here and throw your hook in the ocean and the first fish that come out, take the money out of his mouth and go pay our taxes. Amen. He got interrupted by God the Son. Got interrupted by God the Father. Got interrupted by God the Son. Now he's getting interrupted by God the Holy Ghost. He comes up, preacher, shut up. We got folks wanting to be saved. Amen. And he just has to, hey, and the Spirit of God falls on them, and the Holy Spirit comes down on all of them that heard the Word of God. There was an interruption. But not only was there an interruption, I want you to notice this. Here's a demonstration that something has happened. It said, and they of the circumcision which believed, they were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles was also poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For, here's what he said, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God, then answered Peter. We'll look at that in a minute. But I want you to notice what it says. The Holy Ghost fell on these folks, and they all began to speak, the Bible says here, with tongues. Now, I don't know what tongues that was, and we're not told, and it's not really amplified nor magnified as to what they said, but it was something that caught the attention of those Jewish men that were there with Peter. Now, you know, somebody said, well, they must have spoken in Hebrew. I don't know. I don't know if they spoke in some other language. I think whatever they said, it was known to those that were with Peter. Because they said, hey, how can these guys, they're doing the same thing that happened to us back on Pentecost. And many folks have said this is the Gentile Pentecost. And that may be a good name for it, I don't know. But listen, hey, something happened. There was a demonstration here of speaking with tongues. But I want you to realize this. Now, this is not needed as an evidence today of salvation. There's a lot of folks say, oh, well, that day Peter got up on the day of Pentecost and they preached and all them spake with tongues. And here in Acts chapter number 10, all of these are speaking with tongues. You better be speaking with tongues when you get saved. Well, I want to tell you, you can look in a whole lot of other spots in your Bible when people got saved and nobody spoke with any other kind of tongue. This is a sign that's given in this transitional period that was an example or a sign to those folks, a testimony to them, that God had done the doings, okay? God was doing something, and that's simply all this was. It was a demonstration, as you see that they spoke in tongues. And it said that those, in verse 45, those of the circumcision which believed were astonished. Those that were with Peter, that were the Jewish believers in Christ that came with him, those six men, they were astonished. They said, hey, the same thing happened to them that happened to us. They must have got what we got. And it says they were all amazed because the Gentiles also were poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Again, I think they're saying, this don't happen to anybody but us. Again, can I tell you, their prejudice was showing, wasn't it? Well, they may be hearing the gospel, but they can't get what we got. Oh my, they can. Can I tell you that if you go to some foreign country and the gospel is preached there, they can get whatever you got right over there in Africa, China, Korea, I don't care, Japan, anywhere you want to go. Brother, they can get exactly what you got. They may not act like you do. They may not dance and hoop and holler and shout and do whatever that we, but brother, they can get exactly what you and I got, salvation that comes from God. Amen? And that's what Peter is saying, and that's what the demonstration brings forth. So look at one last thing. You see that there was that interruption when they all started getting saved. There was a demonstration to those that were there that they had gotten saved, that something had happened to them. And finally, Peter says, let me tell you about an expectation that I have. Listen to what it says there in verse number 47. Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. I mean, hey, he said, look, these folks have got what we got. Is there anything that says they can't be baptized? I want you to understand this. They got the Holy Ghost. They're saved. And now Peter says, is there any reason why they can't be baptized like we were? And again, let me just tell you, speaking in tongues didn't save them. Getting baptized isn't going to save them. They're already saved. Amen? They're already saved. All this is just the acknowledging, the baptism, is that they believed in the, just like we do in baptism, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's all that was doing. And then it said they prayed that have him to tarry certain days. They wanted more. They wanted to learn more. They wanted to know more. They wanted to hear more about Jesus. And Peter stayed with them for a certain period of time and encouraged them and preached to them and taught them the Word of God. Amen? The light was finally on and everybody saw its brightness. Everybody got to see the brightness of this light that had come through the preaching to the Gentiles. They got saved just like the rest of those Jews got saved. They were receiving the things of God. Can I tell you, as I said, God still does the same thing today. He is no respecter of person. He doesn't have any favorites. He's not playing favorites with anybody. He'll save whosoever will. Doesn't matter about your nationality. Doesn't matter about your language. Doesn't matter about any of the things that sometimes you and I think. Doesn't matter how prestigious you are or are not. How learned you are not. How important to this world you are or are not. God wants to save every man. Amen? He wants to save them all. And brother, you can be saved tonight if you're not. If you're watching us on Facebook and you need to be saved, you can get saved right there at home. You can get saved in your bedroom. You can get saved at your table. You can get saved in your chair. Wherever you are tonight, you can get saved. If you're in this auditorium, Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing some verse of a song. But I just want you to know, Jesus, as the songwriter said, Jesus can save anybody, anywhere, anytime. Amen? He's still able. Thank God for that today, that Jesus is still our Savior.